can't think of a better place than I'd rather be today than with brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Dorothy, you got to stop coughing. That's what I told her. Yeah. Well, I'm not quite sure where I'm going to start. I forgot my first two verses. I know that it was number 26 and 27, but I don't remember what chapter it was in or book. That's terrible. Well, I know what it was about. It was about God's love. By the way, that song that we just sang, well, that's basically what I had on my mind today. I desire to be more like Jesus every day. And he makes it possible. All we have to do is be obedient. Somebody. I know I heard somebody. I think I'm going to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now what I'm leaning toward is the word love. Now in this chapter here, in this book right here, it uses the word charity. There are varying facets of the word love. But we're going to look at this here. We want to be more like Jesus. And I believe that we see some characteristics here of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be more like him every day. We could sing that song again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Brother Dale. I know he's in there. I thought I heard him. It said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, in chapter 13, and Paul uses it a number of times, the word charity. To me, it's love. I know there are other folks have some varying descriptions of this love. But we can see some characteristics of it here, right here in this chapter. It's an active love, yes. There's a program. There's a program on TV that I probably watch too much of, but it's on Monday night, and it's called, what's that program called then? Bachelor or Bachelorette. Don't cut me down yet. No, it's not Love Boat. No. These characters, they go on there and they say, well, I'm here trying to find love. Nearly every one of them will establish that fact from the beginning. So we're here, we're looking for love. And out of 30 of them, the majority of them flake out, you know, because there's only one spouse, whichever one it is, husband or wife, they're looking for. But it's amazing how many times The majority of them, they start off with 30 folks sometimes, plus or minus a few. Sometimes 30 of them they start off with. But out of that 30, the majority of them never find love. And one out of that group seemingly accepts the fact they think they have found love. And I have listened to the program on several different occasions and know from some historical facts that happened after the shows that this love portion or this love completely collapses and falls apart and comes to nothing. Some of them probably wind up in divorce or something like that. So they really don't know what love is about. But I like the words of that song. We desire here to be more like Jesus every day. Now, Brother Dale wasn't here when you sang that song. You might have to sing it again this evening. Oh, he won't be here this evening, though. Oh, no, that's bad. We might have to sing it again before. Yeah, well, we could change that, and it wouldn't bother me a bit. But that's, I don't want to even say that. Well, I was just kidding, too. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, "And I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity. I am become a sounding brass and as a tinkling cymbal." Now, what on earth? Well, I can't hit the key. But if you hit that key and it makes a sound, Dorothy, and you lift your finger, in a minute it stops ringing. The musical sound discontinues. Right, okay. Okay, I'm not a pianist. All I know is that it will sooner or later come to naught and would be nothing. That's the way it is with the love of those bachelors or bachelorettes that I was speaking of on TV a moment ago. Sometimes their love comes to nothing. But there's an eternal love. The love of our Lord. The love of our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read probably some verses after this, but I want to go down to just a minute to verse two different places. Well, I'll read verse 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love," I have not love, I'm nothing. I'm looking for the other verse I was going to read. Okay, it was right there in front of me. I had it covered up with my red ink. Verse 8. The first three words in verse 8, it says, "Love never faileth," or "charity never faileth." It never fails. And Brother Jordan, the first time, one of the first times that you come to Pine Grove over there, I had to introduce you. Do you remember that? I remember it. Yeah, it was a long time ago. But I introduced him by telling the folks there that you taught me more about love than anyone else has ever taught me because of your love for the brothers around you. And you do love the elect of God. You love the church of God. And that's because the Lord implanted that in your heart. I'm not trying to... That's correct. That's right. I'm not trying to elevate you from what you are. I'm just like that you were living what we should be. You taught me more about love. And I'm thankful for it. I strive to love others around me, even Brother Dale. I fall short in loving my brothers and sisters in Christ. More. But without that love, we're nothing. Without that love, we fail. We fail in everything that we do. People can act and seem like they have the idea that they have succeeded, but they haven't succeeded very much, very much without that love. Verse 3 in chapter 13 reads, and I'm going to read a few other verses here. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Well, we can do all these good chores in the world. It's fantastic to go out and help a poor person. Sometimes we've been being generous to some of our neighbors in our neighborhood over there, and that's an expression of love. But that love can come to nothing, and it really doesn't profit us anything before God. It might, in some ways. I give my body to be burned and hath not charity. It profiteth me nothing. Now, beginning with verse 4, we see some characteristics of love. Charity suffereth, or love suffereth long. Now, I've been suffering for 55 years. Don't laugh, Brother Dale. Yeah, it might have to. It might, but Linda's learned to put up with me. For 55 years, I've suffered putting up with her. And she suffered putting up with me too, Dorothy. I know that. I believe it too, and I know it. I know it so. And I've told her so. She knows how I feel. She knows that I'm guilty. But I'm going to do my best to test her love for me. But the Lord will test our love, and things will happen in our lifetime that will teach us to love better. Charity suffers long. 55 years is a long time. It's longer than an acquaintance. It's longer than just a moment. It's not something that happened just overnight. And some people got the idea that it is just overnight. But love lasts a lifetime. True love of our Lord lasts forever, throughout eternity. And is kind. I know I have trouble with that one. Sometimes I'm not very kind. When I see something that I think is wrong, well, I'm subject to saying something about it. But and is kind. We need to be kind to each other. And sometimes we fall short of being kind to each other. Charity or love envieth not. It does not covet. when I use some of these words, I think back on myself, and it really bothers me when I think of some of these weaknesses. I'm talking, speaking of my weaknesses, not yours.
We're all in the same, foundation.
But God's love doesn't envy, doesn't fall short. How weak we are and how great He is. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. I know that I'm better than anybody else. And I shouldn't be. My love is not, it shouldn't be puffed up. And I don't want it to be puffed up. I try to speak of myself instead of, I don't want to call Brother Jordan's name out. Or some, or Linda's, or Brother Dale's. It is not puffed up. It's a true love. It's a real love. It's the same every time. Our love, it lasts. It's a long love. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It's not easily provoked. My love should be not easily disturbed of what anybody else says about me or the Lord or anything, any other situation, really. It's not easily provoked because we know that the Lord loves us from eternity past. Which reminds me, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but the Lord loved us before we were ever existed. If He chose us before the foundation of the world, He loved us. Why did He do that? Not because of the way we are, but because of who He is. We're blessed because of His love for us. He first loved us. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Brother Jordan, I do hate sin. And I see it every day in my life, in places where I'm weak, and I don't want to return to that place. But I'm so weak, sometimes I do. But rejoices in the truth. There's no greater truth in God's word that we have before us, or that we sang about earlier, or that we just proclaim from this pulpit every Sunday and other times. We're thankful for that truth. We rejoice in it. We love that God's word. Beareth all things. That charity, that love that we have, that God has instilled in us. We have a lot of things to bear up under in this world that we live in. Do I like everything that I see happening in this world? No. I don't like it. But one day He's going to return and I'm going to stand before Him and He's going to know that I put up with some of it because He instilled it in me. Because His love for us is right. hopeth all things. The hope that I have is an eternal hope. It's that one day I will stand before him and see him face to face. Endureth all things. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Everything in this world will vanish away one day. The eternal love of Christ will not fade away. It will never fail. His love will never fail. We'll experience that love all of eternity. Isn't that great? I can't wait for that moment. Sometimes we fail to tell the Lord that we how much we love him. Bruce, I appreciate some your prayers. And many times you say that you love the Lord. And I don't recall whether you say you or we, but you proclaim that we love the Lord. Today we love the Lord. Tomorrow we love the Lord. But when you pray that, I appreciate it. We should all exclaim that more often. Our love for the Lord. What bothers me is when I think of the times that maybe I'm walking too close to the world. That bothers me. I'm speaking to myself. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I'll finish reading that chapter. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Put away those worldly things and worldly thoughts. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is love, or charity. Ever how you want to pronounce it. For some reason, I want to read a few portions over here in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's the Lord's love. Can you sense that and know that? And you hath he quickened. Brother Paul, you ever hit your fingernail with a hammer? You have? It was quickened. That was a sharp feeling, and it hurt for a while, sometimes for a long time. And I've done it many times. And you, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Sin is a dangerous thing. Sin is a hurtful thing. And sometimes every time when the Lord strikes, it hurts. He reminds us how dreadful that thing of sin is. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. The ungodly, the lost man, that's the way he lives and that's the way he acts. He walks according to the course of this world. He likes to work in the world, to live in the world. He goes out and he gets the job that he wants. He goes out and I believe my son is out fishing today. He's on his way home. Oh, he's on vacation over there with Joel. I don't know what Tony's doing over there. Over there doing something in New York. He's always going on doing things like this to satisfy the flesh. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Our conversation is not that voice that comes out of our mouth. It's our manner of life that we live. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, but before we got to this place, it says, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. I think I heard somebody earlier use that expression, great, God's great love. That's what he has for me and for those that belong to him. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. I'm thankful that he loved us. We desire to be more like him every day. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Be more like him every day. That's what we should desire. That's the reason we need to read God's word every day and study it and come to church on Sunday. Lord, may I be more like you every day. That's my desire. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In verse 8 that we so often quote, for by grace are you saved. To me, the word grace also means love. He loved us before the foundation of the world. And it's by his grace that we're saved and instilled into us faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's strange. It was his gift, Brother Jordan. It wasn't because I walked down to the front of the church and shook the pastor by the hand and was baptized and decided that I was going to be saved and belong to him. It was a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What in the world is a work? This is my definition. If I can do it, and it's my decision to do it, if I can do it, it's a work. Not of works, so all of those things are excluded. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. That's the reason he loved us before the foundation of the world. That's the reason he's loved us in time. That's the reason we have all these expressions or characteristics instilled in us to be more like him every day. For we are his workmanship. That's what he's doing to us. More like him every day. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I know I'm out of time. Wherefore, remember this, that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time ye were without Christ. Don't lose that verse if you don't know the Lord. If you don't belong to him, that at that time ye were without Christ. You're without him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. That's the pathetic condition that a person is without if he's without Christ. If he doesn't know the love of God, if he doesn't have those manifestations of God's love in his life, if he doesn't live in that fashion. But, verse 13, I got to read it because it's got a star beside it. I don't know what that means. But now, things are different. If we love him and if we're living in his love. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Brother Jordan.
You can create love, then you can save yourself. You can't create love, then you need a Savior. Because that's really what it's all about. It's about the love of God. The love from God and the love to God. That's what we're saved for, is to love Him. And if we find that in our hearts, then all things else will follow in its proper place. All right. The love of God. The peace of God. This God himself. He is. Our life.